Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. We have that passage, or if you're looking on the screen, would you say amen?
Amen.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons, Mahlon, Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, and so that the woman was left without her sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law and returned from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house, and may the Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they're grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Verse 7 says that Naomi set out from that place where she was, and her daughters-in-law were with her. And they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Last week we tried to paint a picture in context of the terrible tragedy. Yes, death is a tragedy. Jesus wept at the graveside of Lazarus. Certainly Jesus would miss Lazarus, but Jesus also knew that Lazarus would live again. But I believe, as many other theologians believe, that Jesus died over the power of death, even over those whom he knew while he walked on the face of this earth. And perhaps Jesus cried at Lazarus' death because he knew the path he must take as a man in order to conquer death, not only for himself, but for all of us, so that we too, like Lazarus, one day will rise again. Death is an enemy. As we read, Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Each of you should return back to your mother's house. Go back to Moab. This is a bad idea. We've started on this trip, but I think you should go back. I don't have anything to offer you. Your husbands, my sons, they're deceased now. Why do you want to cling to me? I don't have a husband. And even if I did, and even if I could bear children, you wouldn't wait for them to become adult men to marry. It doesn't make sense. I appreciate your loyalty. I appreciate your love, your concern. But you should go back to your mother's house. You have a better chance of having a full life. The land of Moab is filled with qualified young men who could be your husbands, your providers, your protectors." She blessed them in verse 8. "May Yahweh show kindness to you, just as you did with the dead," meaning they buried their husbands honorably, "and how you've shown kindness to me, also a widow, and how you have taken interest in my well-being and want to carry on with me. You have your life to live." Judah was Naomi's home. She realized that Judah was not the land of her daughters. She didn't know what God was doing in the hearts of either one of them, something or nothing. So from a practical standpoint, she urged them to go back to their home, where they would have a much better chance of having a full and complete life. She didn't assume they wanted to follow her, but maybe were doing it out of a sense of obligation. Verse 9, Naomi continues when she says, "May Yahweh grant that you find a resting place, each in the house of her husband." She kissed them and lifted up their voice and cried. Naomi blessed them, wished them well, did not presume that God was at work in the heart of either of her daughters-in-law, or realize at that moment that Judah was or was not a real option. Naomi loved her daughters-in-law, and she wanted the best for them, it's obvious. She offered that prayer blessing upon them. But they said to her, "No, we want to return to the land of Judah with you." You ever tried to convince someone to do something they really don't want to do? "We want to go with you. We're certainly old enough that we understand the consequences of going to Judah, or the potential consequences. Being foreigners in a quote-unquote strange land, we want to go with you." appears as if Naomi had one thing in mind, while the daughters-in-law had something else in mind regarding their immediate future. And again, Naomi responded to them by saying, "No, return, my daughters. Why do you still want to go with me? Are there sons in my womb that may be husbands for you? Do you know something I don't know? Are you that patient that you would wait for them to grow to be 17 or 18 or 20 or 25 or 30 years old? No." At this point, Naomi's thinking of her daughters-in-law's future for sure, and even their present. She doesn't understand why her daughters-in-law want to stay with her, since she believes she has nothing really to offer them. She no longer has sons to offer them as husbands or protectors or providers. "Why do you want to stay with me? Turn back, my daughters," verse 12 says, in a passionate plea. "Go back. This is no place for you. Telling you for your own good. You have no future if you go with me. You're too young to take care of an old woman. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should I think there's hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight. And even if I should bear sons. Would you therefore wait until they were grown? Of course not." And then in verse 13, the last clause, she says, "For the hand of Yahweh has gone out against me." Well, that's a common response to tragedy, isn't it? We buy a new house, we move in, we get maybe even get new furniture and move into that house and get comfortable. And not long after that, we are informed we no longer have a job. You wonder, Lord, how could this be? Why would you allow this to happen? Or I've made what I felt was a good decision. I've thought of the pros and the cons, and I've prayed, and I had a great measure of peace. Excuse me. And after making that decision, I realized it wasn't. Excuse me. It didn't turn out the way that I thought it would. Or I've made sacrifices and I planned to do this, that, or the other. I planned carefully and I prayed fervently. And here I am. I hear people tell me stories on a regular basis of how they've relocated or they've done this or that, and they want to come back home. This is not working. Why am I here? Didn't Job have that same response to his tragedy? His terrible tragedy. He was so depressed by the loss of his family and all of his possessions, which were great. His depression rose to the point where he said, "I should curse God and die." These are words from the heart of Naomi, which indicates her good intentions for her daughters-in-law. But were they God's will for them? Good intentions and God's will is not always the same thing. They lifted up their voices and cried again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. "Okay, you've convinced me. I'll go back. Maybe you're right. I am young. There are plenty of men in Moab. And after all, I don't know anything about Judah. I'll go back. Bible says that Ruth, however, clung to her. It's kind of that same word that talks about husbands and wives and how they cling or cleave. She became inseparable with Naomi. Orpah, though saddened by the thought of separation, she took Naomi's advice. She left their company and she went back home. Perhaps the future was too risky being a foreigner in Judah and the prospects of marrying a Moabite man, one of her own, so to speak, seemed like the better option. Though Orpah loved Naomi, her love for her country, her native land, and her native culture was greater than her hopes for a better future in another land. And longing for her country, the place of her birth, was greater than any love for Judah or Judah's God, Yahweh. Excuse me. Who would think that God was working something out at this point? Most people in tragedies like this, having just buried three husbands, most people would think that this is a low point, that we haven't heard from God. Where is God? Is a common response when tragedy strikes. But here we're going to hear God speaking clearly and God working in the midst of someone's sorrow and tragedy. We must be careful about making choices. We must be careful about making choices. That we're not that we're not making decisions that are short-sighted, but making decisions having all available information and possessing all trust and faith in God. I hope we can see God beginning to work in the ordinary daily activities of a family. We're all faced with options in life. How can we best please God in the decisions we make when considering our options? That is our task. And the most that God can ask of us is to consider God's will. Now, Orpah, she longed for the country of Moab. She longed for what she could see, what she remembered. There was plenty of people there. My family is there, and that's my home country, and I'm familiar with the culture and all of those nuances. But somewhere along the line, faith is an ingredient, isn't it? Does the Bible encourage us to walk by sight or by faith? Abraham was in the same circumstances, but the Bible says that he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was a dweller of tents and moved from place to place. He knew that this was not his permanent home. Orpah didn't have that understanding. She was satisfied in Moab with the 7-Eleven on every corner and a Winco and a Kroger and the possibilities of finding a husband.
Ruth, however, exhibited the greater faith by giving up what she knew to be familiar, by walking away from family, that support group that she had that was united by blood. She was willing to forsake all that was familiar with her and by faith travel to a new country, a new land, possessing a new hope. I'll tell you, Orpah was longing for the wrong country. She reminds me of people who are infatuated and addicted to what this world has to offer. All the toys that people can accumulate. And after having played with them for a short while, they're bored again, and it's on to the next toy. Or it's tickets to the sport events that's the most popular this season. And next season, perhaps it'll be something else. She longed for the wrong country. Naomi did her best to convince Ruth that she should join Naomi in making this same decision. She says, look, your daughter-in-law, your sister-in-law, rather, she has made the right decision. She's going back to Moab. She's returned to her people, and listen what else she's returning to, and her God. Small g. Oh, we had something there. Why are some people drawn to Christ and others not? Why are you here in the house of worship this morning and multitudes are not? Why are you lifting up your voice and praising God on high while many others don't even have an inclination to worship God? The call of God was clearly on Ruth's life. Return after your sister-in-law too. Oh, my friends, it was more than a love for Naomi. Orpah loved Naomi too. It was more than the love of a mother-in-law, no matter how wonderful she was. Ruth couldn't resist the call of God upon her life. Moab had lost its appeal. God had set Judah and Judah's God in her heart. That's where she wanted to be. Oh, my friends, I'll never forget the picture one Sunday morning, and it's the greatest feeling that a preacher of the gospel ever experiences. I was preaching at a former congregation in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, Church of the Master. And I was concluding a sermon. I had walked down several aisles. And as I concluded my sermon, to see a young lady by the name of Deborah leap from her seat and come forward. And that, when I read this text, it reminded me of that. Those who come to Jesus are like Ruth. The appeal of this world and its trappings, it has gone. The past life is the past. God had set Judah on our hearts and Judah's God on our hearts. This is a test of Ruth's will. Is it an emotional decision, Ruth? Or is this a real decision you're making? Are you being immature? Are you not really thinking things through? Are you sure you don't want to go back to Moab like your sister-in-law has? This urging of Naomi to Ruth is confirmation of Ruth's conversion to Naomi's God. Not just a love for her mother-in-law. Ruth said this, and this is her testimony or her confession in verse 16. Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, because where you go, that new land, I will go. And where you live, I will live. Your people will become my people, and your God will be my God. This is the testimony or the confession of Ruth's conversion. It's God in her heart, God at work, removing the dross of sin and this world, and placing in her heart a longing for a new home. Oh, my friends. I heard my dad preach many sermons, and I'm glad that I've chosen, by the will and direction of God, to travel to that same land, that the trappings of this world are nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Ruth wants to be a fellow Judite. She wants to be among Naomi's people. She wants to be among the people of God. I remember being a hard-headed knucklehead and fighting the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart, urging me to give my life to Christ. But I had my mind set on being an academic. I had my mind on being a judge. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in my mind, I didn't want both. But I remember seeing the young men, some my age and some a little younger, who had given their life to Christ, and the fun they had together and the fellowship they had together. And seeing so many of them called to ministry, I felt like a real outsider. And here I was, the pastor's son. I was an outsider. Although God was working in my heart, I wouldn't concede to it. I wouldn't profess it. I wouldn't confess it. Ruth wanted to be a citizen of Judah. Have you decided that it's more important to be a citizen of heaven, that new Judah? Have you decided that you want to be among the people of God? Is this where you want to stake your claim? Is this where you share the same affections of things holy, things godly, things that are just and righteous? Are you willing? Is God doing in your heart what God did with Ruth? Is God pulling you away from your Moab? Telling you he wants to place your feet firmly in his new Judah. Will you make a confession? And are you willing to say right now, Pastor, your God will be my God? Those of you raised in Christian homes, can you say, my mother's God? I'm willing now to walk away from all that I thought was right and would make me happy. Are you willing to say, yes, I want my mother's God, my father's God, to be my God? If you're willing to make that confession,
as we bow and pray right now. Tell that to Jesus. Tell the Lord you want Him to be your God also. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your kindness, for your working in our life, even behind the scenes. The things that you've done and are doing to draw us to yourself. We give you thanks. And we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would continue to draw other Ruths to yourself. And for this we say thank you. But we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Stand with me, let us sing.